under the inspiration of God, was challenging his people not to trust these nations, not to put faith in their gods. We are always trying to find somebody to trust. Sun, me, young moon. We are trusting in our friends whom we bribe to be our friends. We go to funerals of great leaders and say, I'm offering you $300 million. We're hoping to buy friendship. Why, the average man could tell you, as long as you're going with her honey and give her money, you can have friendships. But when the money's gone, the honey's gone. And that's the same thing with these so-called friends. But when we shake our fist in God's face and say, under our flag, anything's okay. These things that Joshua said to the Israelites about these nations and their gods have become snares and traps to us. And the book of Judges substantiates it by saying that the people of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Time after time, following the gods of nations. And those gods would turn around and defeat the Israelites. And then they had to call on God. Oh, God, help me. It's like the seminary student who doesn't study but goes out and has a good time, and examination time comes, and he takes his book, puts it under his pillow, and says, Lord, please be sure that something gets into my brain tomorrow. But if you study nothing, you'll know nothing. You will see it again. What I'm saying is, in verses 9 and 10 of chapter 23, Joshua reminded the people that God had driven these powerful nations before them, and no one had been able to withstand the people of Israel. The Lord their God had fought for them. Then he said in verse 11, so be very careful to love the Lord your God. Oh, I wish we would love the Lord as we should. That's why Brother Josh said yesterday that truth is relative. It's what is true to me. But you may know that love is not relative. For when you're down in the dumps and your friends have gone and they are no more with you, God still loves you. All he wants you to do is to reach up and say, God, I need you. God never stops loving us. Therefore, we should not stop loving the Lord our God with the totality of our being, heart, soul, mind, and strength. But the problem is, we love the Lord when it's convenient, and then when it's over, bye-bye, Lord, I'll see you next time. I wouldn't be standing up here with my wife in the hospital if I didn't believe that the Lord is with her while I am here. If I doubted, if I feared, if I said, oh, God, I don't know what I'll do if you take my wife. But I don't say that. I say, Lord, whatever happens, whatever it takes, I am yours, so therefore use me. We need to realize what the Lord has done for this nation in which we live. We have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We have the name of being the strongest nation on earth. What's going to kill America is not what is happening on the outside. Foreign nations. What's going to bury America if we're not careful is our destroying ourselves from the inside. Amen. Cancer attacks from the inside. So does sin. And our churches, and let me hit you, our churches are going along merrily. Pastors are saying, I want to please the people. Pastors are saying, oh, as long as I get what's mine, I'm looking for a bigger church, one with a greater package. You'd better go back to the original package. The original package said to you, all power is given to me, both in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Listen, all things. Jesus is an all things Jesus. He's not a some things Jesus, or most things Jesus. He's an all things Jesus. We are supposed to teach all things that the gospel has in it. We had better start carrying the gospel in shoe leather and let these politicians, these silky-tongued, slimy, opportunistic men and women know we have had enough of your stupidity. We are ready to bring revival. But let me hit you again. Revival doesn't just stay in our churches. Some of us think revival is what we do in the spring, in the fall, that we have revival. We've done it enough. See you next time. No, revival should begin when we get up from our seats and take the gospel in shoe leather out to our people and let them know, thus says the Lord. Last year, so many so-called conservative Christians, angry, upset, and buried in morbidity because of the Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky rubbish, did not even go and vote. They stayed home. Now they are griping. I was told as a child, if you eat too many green apples, you'll have a stomachache. If you let too many politicians tell you what was done in the Oval Office was not really bad, that everybody does it, that doesn't make it right. If everybody you knew went and got bit by a snake, would you go?
No.
Then stop this rubbish about everybody does it. Let's remember what Joshua said. Let's remember that our nation can survive and more than survive. But you've got to stop thinking about Ed McMahon and the Publishers Clearinghouse and the lie about him, $11 million. You've got to stop thinking about Robin Leach and thinking about all that he can offer you. These people can offer you nothing compared to what we can tell them about. We can offer them peace where there is no peace. We can offer them hope where there is no hope. Hope beyond the Social Security check. Hope beyond the military. Hope beyond all these things. Because our hope is built in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. You Christian soldiers, I can't finish, Joshua. I'm going to end this here in 5 minutes. You Christian soldiers, you're looking for a pastorate. You better make sure a pastor's looking for you. You are looking for a place to expound your great knowledge. Just remember, you were called first to preach. To preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Soldiers, it's going to get tough. Already, people are blaming Christian organizations for the death of Matthew Shepard, that homosexual man who was brutalized by two young men. They're blaming James Dobson and men like that for this. They're trying to make Christianity a curse and not acceptable. We had better start being salt and light. Instead of just being the light of the world, we better get in there where we can unobtrusively change things from within as well as from without. Soldiers of Christ, you need to stop thinking about what you want and ask the question Paul asked, Lord, what would you have me do? Amen. We need to stop thinking about our own selfish ambition and place the cross of Christ ahead of everything else.
Amen, brother.
If you don't preach Christ crucified, resurrected, ascended, coming again, stop preaching.
Amen.
If you don't preach a bold gospel, leave it alone. The gospel is not for marshmallow-minded Christians. It's for men and women who have tasted and seen that the Lord is good and not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's time that we leave this seminary, go out into the streets of Wake Forest and Raleigh, and by the election of 2000, Let people know we are here to stand for the gospel. And we are not ashamed. It's going to get worse. But when it gets worse, you can understand this. Christ will be with you. He said, I'll be with you. How long?
Always.
He said, I'll be with you always. Therefore, the battle must be engaged. We must take back our country from those who would put it down into the dregs. Coffee grounds are no good if there's no coffee there. We've got to understand, you could give me a cupcake wrapper, but if there's no cupcake, there'll be no eating. You've got to understand that if God is on the throne, as you say he is, if the Bible is the inerrant, inspired word of God, as you say it is, if the Holy Spirit is your guide and counselor, as you say he is, then why aren't you fighting for this country? I don't mean that kind of war that our soldiers died in Korea, Vietnam. I am talking about a warfare against immorality, immodesty, materialism, secularism, and all those other isms. I am saying let's get busy, for the time is short and the waters are rising. Christ is coming back soon, and we better be ready for him. All of us talking about we're going to be raptured. Honey, you'd better start healing rapture before you start talking about rapture. You've got to understand this. As Joshua closed this point, he said to the people of Israel, he said to them these words, you have to understand, I have delivered you, God said, from these people. The reason the Israelites saw their enemies come upon them is because they forgot the Lord and followed the customs of the nations who did not know God. This warning was preserved for us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We'd better understand God wants us and needs us to pray for our country. Our country's not lost yet, but we need more soldiers, men and women and young people who will pray earnestly for this country and who will do their best in their small circle to turn people around and to say, yes, this is my country, but more than that, I serve a risen Savior. Yes. Amen. I serve a true God. When you've tried all these gods, when you've seen all of the political gods that we serve, and they have failed, we serve a God of whom we can confidently say, he never fails. Right. What kind of dream do you have? What kind of vision do you have? The message of Joshua to you in America today is, go forward for God. Preach the gospel. Do not be ashamed. And you don't need an ordination to preach the gospel. You need a consecration. You need it from the Holy Spirit guiding and leading. I'm going to finish this message by telling you of a dream. A dream that happened one time. A beautiful dream. I challenge you to dream this dream. Last night as I lay sleeping, there came a dream so fair. I stood in old Jerusalem beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, methought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. Methought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang.
trumpets no longer rang. Hushed were the glad hosannas the little children sang. The sun grew dark with mystery. The morn was cold and chill as the shadow of a cross arose upon the lonely hill. As the shadow of a cross arose upon the lonely hill.
Just remain standing. Dr. Carson, we love you, and I think that that's exactly what the students are expressing, their love for you and appreciation for the message in preaching and in singing. And by the way, nobody is more delighted than I am that you finished singing. Dr. Carson told me that I asked him how he was going to close. He said, "Well, it's a secret, and you're going to be shocked." So I'm delighted that it turned out well, Dr. Carson. That scared me to death. So what a beautiful job you did in singing. We thank the Lord for it. And please remember, next week, Ken Hemphill is preaching on Tuesday, president of Southwestern Seminary. Dr. Patterson asked the faculty yesterday to please be present. I'm asking the students today to please be present. We want to put on, we want to show him how to do chapel next week. So Maybe he'll take that back to Texas. And then Wednesday, Bill Ricketts will be preaching. He is the pastor of the exciting Prince Avenue Baptist Church down in Athens, Georgia, where the University of Georgia is located. And Thursday, Dr. Patterson will be back to preach for us in chapel. Let's close our time together with a word of prayer. Our Father, we close today having been reminded of the sorry state of affairs in our nation today and how desperately a fresh touch from God is needed. And yet we also stand aware, Father, that in order for our nation to be changed, the Church of Jesus must be changed, and we must be about the business to which you have called us. God, we thank you for speaking to our hearts and our minds today through this, your preacher. We ask, Father, that even as we leave, your Holy Spirit might continue to deal with us, and that we, in fact, would be filled with your Spirit to do what is your will for us in these coming days. I pray, Father, that you'd bless each one of these students and faculty and staff, that we might do your perfect will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.